My name is David Hernandez, and you're listening to As the Pokeball Turns. Welcome to As the Pokeball Turns. At the start of the year, I started the episodes with a fundraiser for a local Pokemon Go member who had lost his house in a fire. The Pokemon Go community stepped up and helped raise what he called life-changing money to help his family start their journey to a new life. Now he's here to share his experience from both going through the fire and receiving support from an online community during a troubling time. Here's his origin story into the world of Pokemon. This is Who's Your Dad at 13? Today, I have a special episode. It's one that if you listen to the first episodes this year, we actually did a fundraiser and did an outcry, and the community kind of responded to one person who lost their entire house and everything they owned in a fire. And he actually messaged me wanting to come on the show. And I'm like, I mean, I want you to on the show, but is it a good time? And he said, of course, you know, be happy to talk about it, but he's here to share experiences. Who's your dad at? Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, my friend. And I appreciate you reaching out because, you know, when I first heard about, you know, what happened, you know, I can't imagine the traumatic experience of what it's like to kind of go through what you went through. But then the fact that so many people kind of stepped in and was there for you out of the Pokemon community was really moving. And I appreciate you kind of taking the initiative because I don't think I would have probably even contacted you this year, to be honest, from my end point. And my first question is this, is like, you know, how's it been to kind of process what's happened? Because it's only been about, what, 3 months since it happened?
About 3.5 months. So I'll just walk a little bit through about how this has all played out and kind of where we are now. So personally, my wife and I, we have 4 kids, ages 11, 8, 5, and a 2-year-old baby daughter. So 3 boys and then a 2-year-old girl. We moved into this house back in summer of 2021, and it was our forever house. We were blessed financially. We're in great jobs, great careers. Just, you know, moving on in life. And we found this house with 10 acres of land and in the woods and a ravine and just all this, you know, it's a perfect spot. And we would watch the sunsets every night on our wraparound porch. And it was a perfect situation. I mean, we just spent so much time and effort in rebuilding the house and fixing the inside. We just started to finish up the inside to be perfect to how we wanted it. You know, new flooring, new kitchen, new bathrooms and everything. We had about 1 acre of land to take care of and just let the kids run outside. And we'd get home and they didn't want to be inside and play video games or do any of that. They just want to go outside and run. And that was our dream. That's what we've always wanted for the kids. So to be able to provide that was perfect for 2.5 years. We lived that and we loved it. It was just business as usual. Just the days leading up to that, you know, December of 2023. We're buying Christmas gifts, you know, it was leading up to Christmas and, you know, 4 kids and, you know, each other, you know, we had a lot of Christmas gifts that we just kept buying and hiding in our closet and our secret stash under the clothes that the kids would never look under. So we had this giant living room area too, with like 16-foot ceilings and a wall of windows that led into the backyard. So, you know, I got pictures out there in like the BTW Discord, you know, the Christmas tree. We had a giant 14-foot Christmas tree that we had to use ladders to put all the ornaments on. And those were our traditions. And, you know, those are the things that, you know, meant the most to us. And so trees up, everything's good. Christmas is chugging along. And then December 5th was a Tuesday. And my daughter, Olivia, she was feeling a little sick. I stayed home with her. I had the flexibility in my work to work from home. Stayed home with her. Everything's good. And she was taking a turn for the better, but maybe not good enough to send her to the babysitters. So I made the call. I was like, I'll stay home one more day. Not a big deal. I have nothing on my schedule until Thursday. That'll be perfectly fine. And so we wake up on December 6th and drop the kids off at school, take her with me. We go to the BMV because I had to renew my driver's license. So I take her to the worst place on earth. And thinking this is going to be good for you. You got to learn a lesson. And, you know, we get home and eat a little lunch, play, go around outside. Because it was a little chilly, but it wasn't a cold Indiana winter or anything at this point. And then we took a nap. Wake up around 3:30, give or take. Do what I naturally do while she's still asleep. I wake up, play a little GBL, play some Pokemon, message some friends in Discord, enjoy the time while she's still sleeping that I'm rested and ready to go. And everything was just normal. She eventually wakes up. We walk to the kitchen to start to, you know, make dinner. I know my wife's going to be getting home from work soon. She's going to get the kids, and I'd like to have dinner ready for her when she gets home. So dinner was getting ready. We were cooking. I could see out the window, thick black smoke coming out, barreling out. And it was a windy day, and the smoke was blowing to the east. At this point, I had no idea what that was. And I just run outside to try and see what the smoke was. I run around out the back door, run around to where the smoke's coming from, and it's just feet from where my daughter is on the inside. And at this point, I can tell what's happened here is already more than I can control. And so I take my AirPods out because at this point I'm listening to BTW podcast that drops every Wednesday, and it's a Wednesday. So I'm listening to them on the pod, and I take my AirPods out and disconnect on my phone. I'm calling 911 while I'm turning on my outside spigot to try and see if I can get enough water to even maintain and control what flame is happening right now. And within 5 seconds, I could see this is doing absolutely nothing. It was such a helpless feeling. Like I can't even explain it well, because it's like, okay, I know what to do. I know to control this and get this. I don't have, you know, fire extinguisher within reach, or and even that wouldn't control what's happening right now, because how the house was, it had a giant wooden wraparound porch. I mean, the wood was original to the house too, so it was about probably 28 or 30 years old. This is where the fire started, was around there where we had a outside shelter for some cats. And they were our mousers, you know, they take care of all the mice and all the critters around there. So something there triggered some sort of reaction with electrical and something going on. We never got a clear answer on that from the fire marshal or insurance or anybody. They just chalk it up to radiant heat and sorry for your loss. So I run back inside and I grab my daughter off the toilet, and you know, all she has is a t-shirt on, and I run outside, take her out back. And at this point, before I can even get to the back door, the smoke alarms on the inside of the house start going off, and it has started its way around the house, around the entire front of the house, and it started to come inside. And I say, okay, I got Olivia, I got my daughter, we're good to go. And as I'm taking her outside, out the back to safety, my two dogs, stupid dogs, run inside because they were outside. And they are freaking out, apparently. So I can't blame them. And they run inside. And so I had split second times to react to, you know, what do I do? You know, what do you do in this situation? You know, your entire livelihood and everything you own, everything you've had from your whole life is inside. But you can't worry about that. I can't worry about my big stack of Pokemon cards that I've had from when I was 9 years old. I can't worry about those. I can't worry about my games or my things, my wallet, anything. I have to get my daughter and I have to get out. And that's what mattered. So I take her, you know, about 30 feet away from the house at this point, put her on the swings, and she's screaming, she's crying because I'm frantic and I'm rushing her all over the place, right? I take her out and I look at her. I say, stay here. I run back inside. At this point, smoke's overtaken the entire house. I mean, I can't even, how quickly everything happened. It's just so intense and so fast. I've thought about this every day since then, and it's something that I don't foresee myself overcoming anytime soon. Just of the, what if I'd have done this differently? Or what could I have done? Or what should I have grabbed? Or if I had another 10 seconds, what could I have done different? So I go inside to get the dogs. Smoke's overtaken the entire downstairs. As soon as I open the door, they run back outside. And I had a split second where I'm like, what can I grab? What's the one thing I know I can grab that I need? And my brain was not working. I couldn't think of a single thing that was my, I have to get. Now I can think of 15 things that were within arm's reach. You know, my wallet that was 5 feet from me at that point, that, you know, had my driver's license, had all the stuff in there. my backpack that had all my work equipment, my keys to the car, so I could have put my child and dogs in the car and driven away to safety. No, I couldn't think of any of that. I've called 911. I've done what I needed to do there. I FaceTimed her because I knew she was getting off her shift soon. She answered it, thought it was a normal call. And I call her and I don't recall it because I went into some sort of trance mode of, you know, gut reactions, you know? She's never heard me talk and never heard my voice as frantic in the way that it was. And she didn't believe it. She's like, just put it out. She didn't understand until I turned the camera around and I showed her.
At this point, the whole house is in flames.
Yeah. I mean, she was like, just control it. And I'm like, I can't. I got Olivia out. I got the dogs out. And I turn and I show her. We had a lot of fire departments that came and handled that situation. But the fire department posted a Facebook video about them fighting this fire. You know, as terrible as it is and as bad as it is, this is when within the next few moments is when I started seeing the blessings and the miracles and all the good in this situation. And that's why I think, you know, I reached out to you. It's like, hey, one, thank you, you know, for the shout outs that you were doing. But for two, it didn't just go to waste, you know, and people heard this and people rallied. And I want to talk to that. And one, as a thank you tour for everybody who helped and who donated and who, you know, gave items and monetary donations, even just to reach out on Discord of, hey, thinking about you, man, we love you. That meant the world to me. And it's totally changed my wife's perspective of this community because she thinks I spend too much time playing this game. And, you know, she's like, those aren't your real friends, you know? And I was like, well, and then this happened. And I was like, well, you know, they've donated, you know, this and that and that. And, you know, now she can't say anything about it. So she's bought in. But yeah, I still kick myself for like, what did I do? What could I have done differently? What could I have grabbed? But I got her out, you know? And that's what's getting me through every day is we have each other. And that's what matters the most.
It's kind of survivor's guilt to where you wish you kind of gotten more because, you know, let's break it down. You know, this is your dream house. This is where, like, hey, this is when we will retire, see the kids grow up, see them go to college or whatever have you. Like, from what it sounded like, you and your wife envisioned for the family.
Yeah.
Right before Christmas, the holidays, everybody's cheering. You know, you're getting ready to celebrate. And then, of course, tragedy strikes. And in the heat of the moment, you kind of wish that, hey, I wish I had done something differently. I wish I got something. Like, it's easy to think like that. But I remember when you talked about how you were standing right there, right at the door, the smoke's coming out, and you really went blank on what to get. And I think that, in my opinion, that's maybe your gut telling you, hey, I've got what's important. I got my kids out. I got my dogs out, despite how stupid they were to go back inside. Mm-hmm. I got what's important. My family is safe. Now, is that probably the most ideal situation? Of course not, because, you know, you lost your identification. Anybody who's known, if anybody's ever not had, ever lost their social security number, IDs and all that, it's a pain in the butt to get that back when you don't have it. Mm-hmm. But you got what's kind of more important because you get to see your kids for another day. You get to live for another day. And that's the hardest thing to kind of move past because you always second guess yourself thinking like, hey, I could have done more. In spite of you, in my opinion, I think you did what you could.
Well, thank you for that. I think it's human nature. You know, we second guess all our decisions, whether it was good or not. It's like, could we have done better? And could I have done better? And like, yeah, I could have. But what good does it do me to ruminate on the fact that I didn't grab my wallet, which was 5 feet from me, or I didn't grab my keys, which were closer to where the fire was? Looking back on it, I could have been really hurt or exposed to more smoke if I had grabbed those things. Because yeah, that was the funny thing. Like I told you, I didn't get exposed to a lot of smoke. At least I didn't believe I did. I held my breath. I had very minimal exposure to that because I knew that I didn't want to, you know, breathe in a lot of, you know, what was happening there. Well, in the coming days, I'm having a hard time. I'm having a hard time breathing. I'm coughing a lot. I'm coughing up black phlegm. And I don't know if this is a side effect or not. I mean, my poop was black, dude. I was like, what? Like, wait, I had no idea. I asked my wife, I'm like, hey, you're a nurse, you know, tell me. And she's like, what? No, that's not normal. And I'm like, okay, like, I'm not bleeding, am I? Internal bleeding? And she's like, right. No. So like, I had more exposure to the smoke than I thought I did. And that right. lasted a good 5 or so days before, you know, I stopped the coughing and the phlegm started to dissipate and returning back to normal. I was like, you know, that little bit just really messed with me for I mean, thankfully, again, it's not lifelong. It was just a short term little bit. But yeah, I'm taking solace in the fact that, you know, I did what I think I needed to do at the time. And thank you for affirming that.
You've been listening to As the Pokeball Turns. We're going to take a quick break, We'll be right back.
I love our community. Like, I always say it's more than a community, it's a family. And it's even better because once you've developed that relationship with your listeners and your fans and stuff like that, they are a lot more forgiving when life gets super busy and you can't be as involved as you would like to be. It's one thing that I always feel bad about is I cannot be as active as Wildcat and Dino sometimes in Discord. Like, I've got way too many kids. I've got a business like that I have to deal with, and all the behind the scenes stuff and making sure things get paid, and like, you got to pay for hosting and you got to pay for this and you got to pay for that. And oh, we're doing 3-hour shows, so now we got to pay a little bit extra for our recording site because we go over the limit of like the basic one. So now it's like, you got to pay corporate prices and stuff. And it's like, I try as hard as possible to, if not be active, at least know what's going on so that if something comes up and we talk about it on the show, I'm not just like, now, if it's news about the games, I don't read that shit at all. Like, that is 100% not a character. That is 100%. I do not, and I've never looked at Pokemon Go news until we record the show, as we're recording it.
To hear the rest of this story, listen to Trainer's Eye number 73, a Scrafty bass riff featuring Astro Zombie 954 from the Beginner to Winner PvP podcast. Now let's get back to the episode. You know, a lot of people, you know, I first heard the story through GoCast and then BTW and then Alert Up. A lot of the Pokemon Go community came out telling their communities about this. What was their response when they found out about what had happened?
Yeah, so I'll start, you know, my primary community is with BTW, the Beginner to Winner PvP podcast. That's my main focus when I play Pokemon Go is to get the best Pokemon to compete competitively in PvP, be that GBL or in factions or team-based formats or regional tournaments as well. So that's why I play the game. I don't raid. I don't look for hundos or shinies or anything like that. So naturally, then I've gathered more towards the PvP creators like BTW, like the PvP corner on GoCast and things like that. So before we get to that, I started playing January 1 of 2021 because I was sick with COVID at the time. And so I needed a game to play to pass the time. And so I downloaded Pokemon Go. And it's not a great game to play when you're sick at home. So I was like, oh, this is really weird. There's Slowpoke with glasses on. That's kind of cute. I play it, and my kid, I don't know if he was 5 or 6 at the time, but he played it with me because he was really into Pokemon, getting the cards and all that. Pokemon's always been a central point of my life. I was about 8 or 9 years old when the anime comes to the United States, and seeing a 10-year-old go on his journey to, you know, become a Pokemon master really resonated with me. I think it did with a lot of us around this age group. Playing Pokemon Yellow on my yellow Game Boy with the Pikachu in it. Playing Gold and Silver and thinking I beat the game and then coming and seeing, oh, I get to re-explore Kanto again. Oh my God, that was a whole game after the game. I mean, just those memories have always stuck with me. And I stopped playing after Emerald. I guess, you know, I went through that normal, we grow out of it phase and didn't play anything after that. Downloaded Pokemon Go back, you know, when it launched, but the game wasn't great at the moment and everything was, you know, Route 1 Pokemon, Pidgeys and Caterpies and stuff. So wasn't too into it. It was kind of cute. And I would take my kid at the time, he was just a baby, and we would push him in a stroller and walk to the brewery and get some beers and push him back and catch some Pokemon and show him and put his little finger on the screen to catch a Pokemon and you did it. So that kind of thing. But so, you know, and then I kind of fell off the game again until, you know, 2021. I downloaded it again. At that point, there was more to the game. There was a PvP component to it. There was all this new stuff that was really interesting to me. So I got hooked. And a few months go by, and it's the summer, and we're driving to and from Florida for a vacation. We had a long drive, and I needed something to listen to. And I was like, I wonder if there's a podcast for Pokemon Go. And there were dozens of them. It was insane. I was like, holy crap, there's a lot. I didn't know this was as big as it is. And so then I found Pokemon Go Radio at the time. That was my introduction into podcasting for Pokemon Go. And of course, that was a slippery slope that led to becoming a part of communities of PGR, then of GoCast, and then BTW, because I like the battling component, and then Lured Up, and then jumping on Monday Zoom calls with a lot of the people in the Lured Up, which is where I know you from. And I was like, oh, I know that guy. So, you know, finding these communities and becoming a part of them, much to my wife's dismay, who says I probably spend a little too much time in the game. And there's probably something to that. And I'm not going to lie, but I like it and it's fun. I don't let it affect my work. I spend time with my family. I can have a little fun and join these communities. It's a few dollars a month. That's not a big deal. So that's where I fostered that community with them and, you know, with BTW, with GoCast and Lured Up and every, which is across the board, because I felt like no matter what I was told, I was like, these are my friends. You know, they're digital and there was something to that. I've never been a part of a gaming community before, but I know these people and I know what they're going through. And we talk about our life and our issues. And I finally got to meet a lot of these people at a Pokemon Go tournament at NAIC back in 2022. We got an Airbnb with a lot of the BTW guys and we're able to finally meet together for the first time and stay with each other and see each other, you know, battle and hang out afterwards. And the stories and the memories that come from those in-person connections are priceless and I'll never forget those. My wife thought I was going to a serial killer's house and she thought I'd never come back. And it was this, you know, it was a whole thing. And I was like, no, but, you know, Lyle's there. He's Canadian and he's kind of crazy. He's pretty loud and he's pretty intense. And he mauled it a little bit during a GBL match. But, you know, we lived through it. So you get out of these communities what you put into it. And I'm not saying I put in the most at all. I'm not a content creator. I'm not the most involved in any of these communities. But I do truly value what they bring to us and to me specifically as a release from and an escape from the world. You know, posting in the GoCast BYOB channel. I'm an avid craft beer drinker and post our beers in there and just talk about different beers that we've had and post in, you know, BTW Foodies channel of all the different food that we, and, you know, just an escape from the world to hang out with people and, you know, talk about things and escape from, you know, the troubles of life. And then these people are friends. And when one of us hurt, we all hurt. And I felt that truly. When the event happened in December that, you know, I reached out to BTW first, being the home community of like, hey, guys, this is what I'm going through. If you don't hear back from me, this is what I'm going through. I just wanted you guys to know because I didn't want them to think I ghosted them or, you know, I see it as it happens when core people in the community, you know, disappear. We worry about them. Hey, so-and-so, you're close. You're within a few hours of so-and-so. Can you go check on them? You know, it's just that kind of accountability with each other. So I didn't want them to worry. And of course, they take it and run with it and put it on their Twitch streams of like, hey, every few minutes, just popping up in the messages, like, this is what's happening. Donate here. Help him here. I didn't ask them to, you know, reach out to anybody else as far as like, you know, hey, David, with, you know, as Pokeball turns, like, hey, can you mention this at the beginning of your podcast? I think, you know, that worked out naturally through whatever means that you found out about it from. I think you said that was GoCast. So I sent a message to Chris and I was like, hey, just a heads up. This is what's going on with me. If you're able to just give a quick shout out, that would help a lot. You know, I don't want to do it. It seems almost self-serving in a way that I didn't want to be the one asking for help, but I don't want to seem like I'm being needy. I don't know. It was a weird line to toe because I was needy and like we had nothing and, right. You know, everything was gone. I mean, we're not talking a partial loss. The only thing we had was what was in my wife's car because she was at work and the clothes that were on our backs. And that was really hard for us because we're the kind of pull yourself up by your bootstraps kind of people. And we had to get past that and we had to ask for help. I don't have an exact amount of how much that attributed to, but it wasn't a few bucks. It was life-changing money. And we're so thankful for everything that came from that because that helps us in not only just the day-to-day, but also rebuilding a life that we once had. So I just from the bottom of my heart to you, to Chris, to Adam, to Ken, to all the BTW people, thank you. Thank you for using your platform to share the story because I had people that I didn't even know and people that I still can't thank to this day because they didn't put their endgame name in the donations on the Venmo. So if you didn't put your endgame name, I don't know who you are. And I was like, my wife's like, who's Stephanie? And I was like, I don't know who you're talking about. but if you would have put, you know, like Hamtaro, then I would have been, oh, I know exactly who that is. You know, that's the show we used to watch on Cartoon Network in sixth grade. You know that kind of. I was like, dude, Hamtaro was a core memory for me. So I was very happy to see. I still think about that jingle every now and then.
Oh, it's a very catchy jingle, that's for sure.
Little Hamster's Big Adventures.
Hamtaro, yes.
So, again, to everybody who donated in those ways or reached out during those times, it means the world to us. And like I said, it's totally changed my wife's perspective. She still thinks I spend way too much time on this game. And again, I'm not arguing that fact. But to say, you know, thousands of dollars coming in and helping and supporting from people that I've never met, I mean, that just shows the community and what we have here. And that I attribute that to a lot of the time that I've spent with the community. Because if I was just a random Patreon that, you know, maybe I didn't engage and didn't chat with the people and didn't jump on those Zoom calls every now and then and didn't reach out and didn't ask about starting a BYOB channel and doing all this, that, you know, I probably wouldn't have been well known and people wouldn't have built that relationship. But, you know, you get out of it what you put in, you know?
And, you know, when family's hurting, you step up. And yes, you know, we're not blood, but we're connected through Pokemon. And it shows value on how something as simple as online friends who, you know, we've heard it before, like, oh, they're not real friends. You never really know them. They are real friends. They're people that we get to meet on a regular basis, sometimes weekly. And the fact that I didn't even know who you were, but I knew that, hey, this guy needed some help. I know I have a small audience, but maybe somebody out there can maybe throw a couple bucks. I don't know. The best thing I can do is I can't just stand there knowing somebody went through what you went through and not do something on my end. I couldn't do that. And that's why I did. And I think that's why a lot of the other people did it too, because whether they knew you or whether they just want to be a part of just trying to get you back your life together, because that's difficult. It's a difficult transition to what you're going through. And we just wanted to be a part of just trying to get you back on your feet.
Definitely. I know BTW has always made an effort to, as soon as someone comes in and subscribes to the Patreon, everyone on the core team, you know, sends like a welcome message to that person just to be there and to say like, hey, you can tag us, you know, don't feel like, you know, because there are some Discords out there where you can't tag the main people because they're too busy. They don't want those tags. And they're like, no, God, please tag us. Like, we love to interact with you guys. And there's something about that that I've always been supportive of. And I think that's why I became more of a part of BTW specifically, was because I loved what they were doing. I loved the way they welcomed everybody. I loved battling, obviously, as a PvP fan. And I wanted to help them. And I was like, look, I'm not a podcaster doing anything like that, but I noticed you guys have been saying you need a website, and you keep saying it, and you've said it for like 8 episodes straight. And and so I'm like, here's something I just threw together in 20 minutes on my lunch break. What do you think? And we all hopped on a call together, and they kind of reviewed it like I was presenting it to the board of executives or something. And they're like, yeah, this is really good. We'll get in touch. And it was good. It was good enough that they're like, yeah, let's do it. You're the website guy now. And I was like, well, I didn't ask for that, but okay, let's do it. So yeah, now I'm the website guy. And obviously I haven't had a lot of time to devote to the website in the last few months, but I plan on getting in there and, you know, adding it and changing some new features and doing things. And now they consider me a part of the team. And, you know, I'm just blessed to be where I'm at.
Well, who's your daddy? Thank you for coming on the show. If people want to connect with you, if maybe people who've gone through something similar need somebody to talk with, where can they go? By all means, please plug away.
Yeah. So like I said, I'm different than most of the people you bring on. I'm not a creator. I'm not a content producer out there. Mm-hmm. So to find me, the best place you're going to be able to is on Discord. You can reach out, send me a message on HoosierData13. You can send me a direct message through there if you have questions or comments or anything that I can help you with, because that's where we're called right now. We're called to help people going through similar situations and preventing people from going through the pain that we're going through. So if we can help in any way, let us know. Or if you just want to reach out and talk, we're happy to do it. Happy to get more involved in, you know, the Pokemon Go communities. I've listed off a lot of different avenues for you there, because I find the most value isn't just in sticking to one. So if you're only a As the Pokeball Turns listener, I'd recommend you venture out. You get out there. You've had hundreds of interviews over the time to see all these different communities and people who, you know, can produce all this content. You don't have to patron to all of them, but explore different ones. You know, try it from month to month and see, you know, if you like GoCast, if you like Lured Up, if you like BTW, you know, join their Patreon, subscribe to them on via Twitch, and that can get you a free, if you have Amazon, you get a free subscription through Twitch. That's a great resource too. So you can, you know, join the communities through there. Don't join it to, you know, communicate with me. I'm just a percentage of a percentage of, you know, what that community has to offer. But if you're looking for more specific PvP channels, BTW and the GoCast podcast PvP Corner with Fish and DeFi 250, great channels to look into. But yeah, hopefully that helps point people where they need to go.
Absolutely. And I'll make sure to include links to every community he said in the description of this episode. Thank you for listening to As the Pokeball Turns. If you want to support the show, consider becoming a Patreon by either clicking the link in the description or going to patreon.com/asthepokeballturns. Now, if you aren't able to support the show financially, you can always support the show by sharing it with your Pokemon community, because this show wouldn't exist without listeners like you. Now, here's a sneak peek for the next episode of As the Pokeball Turns.
Gimme him! Gimme him, y'all! Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker!